Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
America's rate of locking up young people has dropped by more than 40% over a 15-year period, with no decrease in public safety, according to a new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. The news comes as North Carolina lawmakers are considering a proposal to stop automatically treating 16- and 17-year-olds as adults when they are charged with a crime, and instead handling them in the juvenile justice system. Joining us now to talk about it is Brandi Bynum with Action for Children North Carolina. Well, Brandi, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
The Annie E. Casey Foundation recently published a report, which I think may have surprised some people. Probably not you, because you follow these issues, but we're actually seeing a significant decline in the number or percentage, I guess, of juveniles behind bars.
Yes, and actually that's not just the case in North Carolina, but obviously nationally as well. And in North Carolina, it's almost half the rate of incarcerating juveniles in our state. So I think it's a great thing for North Carolina. We finally caught on to the fact that incarcerating juveniles is bad public policy and that we should find alternatives for treating those young people.
And it's interesting that that trend of fewer juveniles, fewer percentages, and real numbers doesn't actually equate to any change. The crime rate's not going up. It's not like it's caused any societal problems.
No, this has been very positive for our state and both for the nation as well. With the decline in the rate of incarceration, we've also seen a decline in juvenile crime overall, which is a great thing. So there's been no effect on public safety in a negative way.
Do you think that would surprise some people who have been maybe on the other side of some issues that you're working on?
Well, I think that most folks in general will be surprised. I mean, if you listen to the media a lot, you know, what leads bleeds. And so people tend to focus on those high profile cases of crime, which are horrific in of themselves. But that's not what the majority of our kids are involved and engaged in.
This sort of obviously gives more supporting evidence to an effort I know your organization and you've been working on for a long time, which is something called Raise the Age. Let's get into that a little bit. For folks who are listening, what are we talking about when we talk about how North Carolina treats juvenile offenders and why are we so different?
Well, North Carolina, unfortunately, remains one of two states in the nation that automatically prosecute 16 and 17-year-olds as adults, regardless of the severity of the crime. So these kids have no opportunity to have those cases transferred back to the juvenile system, where we know they'll have access to rehabilitative services, appropriate punishment, education, and their parents have to be involved. So North Carolina is definitely an outlier, as this remains the case in our state. This is a very outdated law, has been a law in our state since 1919, so almost 100 years. Our organization is definitely heavily involved in advocating for this policy change in our state, and will continue until it's done.
I guess I want to make it clear for folks who don't quite get it that there still are circumstances where if judges want to try, if the age is raised to be in line with almost every other state, judges could conceivably still bind a juvenile over to the adult system in specific circumstances. This doesn't rule that out.
Right. So the proposed legislation that will be before our General Assembly this session will only be to raise the age from 16 to 18 for misdemeanor offenders. So any kid who commits a felony will remain in the adult court system as per the proposed legislation. And despite that, also the transfer law will not change as it stands right now, which means that a juvenile court judge can transfer a kid as young as 13 to the adult system for any felony.
You touched on a little bit of this, but why is it so important that juveniles be in the juvenile system and not the adult system?
Well, for a couple of reasons. I definitely think there's an economic argument behind that. What we're doing is that we're barring our own young people from access to higher education and employment in our state, which we know is an economic issue. We're either creating taxpayers or we're creating tax burdens. Despite that fact, we also know that 48 other states do things differently. So a kid from any other state could move to North Carolina, have committed the same type of crime, can go on to one of our universities and get a job here in our state, but our own young people can't. That's bad public policy.
Traditionally, I guess it's been the District Attorneys Association and some others who have opposed it. Their main argument seems to be, for lack of a better phrase, you do the crime, you do the time. These kids sometimes do bad things just like adults do, and they should be punished the same way. And how do you answer folks who bring up that argument?
Well, I answer that by saying there are mechanisms currently within the system, the transfer law that we just mentioned, that allow for the transfer cases of kids who commit those sort of horrific crimes. What we know is that 80% of the crimes committed by 16 and 17-year-olds are misdemeanors. So these are minor offenses. So we don't want to have a blanket policy for all of our kids, but really targets a portion of those young people.
There is a move in the General Assembly to maybe go the other direction a little bit. House Bill 217, which actually removes juvenile oversight from judges. What's your thought about that?
Well, specifically Section 7 of House Bill 217 basically removes judicial discretion, which as advocates, we think that's bad public policy, especially knowing that our judicial officials are the most neutral, unbiased members within the court system. And so making sure they have that ability to take into account the factors in a juvenile's life. One would be, is that juvenile amenable to rehabilitation, which they would get in the juvenile system? Also, what about protecting the public as well as the best interest of that child? And that's what a judge takes into account when transferring cases to the adult court system.
Are you surprised that there's an effort to sort of go the opposite direction of it looks like we've been edging toward a reasonable policy of raising the age and then we have this bill?
I think definitely if policymakers and other officials in our state took a look at the data, and the data definitely speaks for itself. The Annie Casey Foundation's most recent report, which shows us that juvenile crime is on the decline and that we are confining fewer juveniles, and we need to continue to move in that direction.
Another point that I've heard, and I'm sure you have too, is that the juvenile system in North Carolina isn't ready for all the a massive influx of folks who are currently tried in the adult system, and that we don't have the proper investments in rehabilitation involving the parents and all those things that you mentioned.
Well, I think that's definitely an opportunity as I see it. As an advocate for the juvenile justice system, I think I call upon those individuals who say that to say, yes, let's advocate for more funding for the juvenile justice system to ensure they can do the best job possible for our children. Because as you know, kids who end up in the juvenile justice system tend to come there with a lot of problems and issues. And so we want to make sure that we're putting funds in that system to do the best job we can to rehabilitate those young people.
Folks might think this is a long shot in this very conservative General Assembly, but on the other hand, we've seen them be very open-minded about expunging records, second chance bills, trying to help people who have been incarcerated get a job, make it easier in the application process. So there does seem to be a strain running through this even conservative General Assembly that may lead them to do the right thing, it seems like.
Well, I obviously remain optimistic as it relates to this Raise the Age legislation. We know that we have bipartisan support. Conservative groups like the John Locke Foundation, Right on Crime, completely support raising the age. It is a great public policy move for our state. It's about being smart on crime, and that's what North Carolina needs to continue down that road.
And how long have you been at this?
It's been 7 years now, Chris.
Does it ever get frustrating?
As an advocate, I have to remind myself that I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for the young people across North Carolina. And there were advocates before me that also advocated on behalf of things that I now have access to and are eligible for. And so that's what keeps me going as it relates to this policy campaign.
I want to reinforce one point you made before I let you go, too. This actually, in the long run, is a cost savings for North Carolina in this era of tight budgets.
Yeah, definitely. We also know that by these kids not having adult criminal records, it's a taxpayer savings as well. It's a savings for the state. We're talking millions of dollars that these young people will be able to generate versus millions of dollars that we as taxpayers will have to utilize to take care of these young people who have adult criminal records.
Well, thanks a lot for all you're doing, and good luck, and thank you for being with us. Love
thank
to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, the ongoing push for fracking and the assault on clean energy. Stay with us.